This is the second of a series of three talks on the ethnic origins of the peoples of Southwest Virginia. The earlier one was on Spanish Berbers. This one is on the Germans. These ethnic groups are taken in the order in which they arrived into Virginia. In the 50 years before the American Revolution, 30,000 Germans poured into Pennsylvania. Indeed, Germans are the largest ethnic group in the United States. The reasons for their leaving Europe were twofold. The wars of the Reformation had consumed Europe for a century. Much more than religion was involved, it was a period of nation building when small, petty principalities were joined together to become countries. This was equally driven by politics and by economics. All the countries of Europe adopted a state religion. The governing principle became the same in each country. The country must be characterized by, quote, one people, one faith, one king, end quote. The practical result of this standard was that if you were a member of a faith other than the established religion, you had the choice of either converting or of being horribly executed or of leaving. Many chose to leave. Pennsylvania especially welcomed German refugees. This was because England had recently become Protestant. The English royal family was especially intermarried with the royalty of the German Protestant states. William Penn was of the English royal family, and his Quaker religion was closely associated with that of the German refugee Protestants. Pennsylvania needed settlers. The Germans poured in. A second problem was the weather in Central Europe, which in the first half of the 18th century underwent one of its periodic cold spells. The Rhine River froze over, fruit trees died, and crops failed. Population and economic pressures became destabilizing, and thousands of German peasants were squeezed out of the economy. These economic refugees joined the religious ones in their migration to Pennsylvania. The groups were very diverse, but we will follow three of them as they are the dominant German settlers of Virginia west of the Blue Ridge. The earliest Germans in Virginia and the least well documented were the Pietists among the Picaroons of Tangier Island. Recall that they were there three quarters of a century before the English settled Jamestown. We referenced them in our first lecture on the Spanish settlers in the southeastern United States. Their presence in Southwest Virginia is documented by three obscure references. The first is from October the 16th, 1745, entry by Colonel John Buchanan in his Woods River Land Entry Book. Woods River is an old name for the New River. We will return to Colonel Buchanan in our presentation on the Scots-Irish in Virginia. Referring to himself in the third person, Buchanan stated, Buchanan rode on to William Mack's place at present Mack's Meadows. Buchanan found Mack dead in his cabin, but with him were several longbeards, or siebentongers, from Ephrata Cloister, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Newly arrived, they would build a settlement called Manhanium. End quote. Mack was probably the noted Mach, and the spellings of these two surnames are significant. The first way I spoke of it, it's spelled in English as M-A-C-K, but in German it is M-A-C-H, in both instances pronounced Mach or Mack. They were a hereditary milling family from Schriesheim, Germany, whose father, Alexander Jost Mack, founded the German River Baptist, or Dunkard faith. Siebentonger is German and translates as seven men from Tangier Island. We will return shortly to the Dunkards. A second reference to the Germans of Tangier Island is inferential and made from the German surname Hunger, which is Old High German for starvation. This dialect of German is older than the Middle High German spoken by the Germans of Pennsylvania. Its antiquity is not often documented by the Old dialect of German from which it came, but also by two different geographic references. The first is from Land Grants of Virginia, maintained online by the Library of Virginia. William Cotton got a patent at the Horns of Hunger's Creek, 1637, in Northampton County. No one knows who the Hungers were, but the name stuck. Hunger's Parish and Creek were again documented in Northampton County, Virginia, in 1683. Hunger's Parish is on the eastern shore just opposite from Tangier Island. The next reference to Hunger is from Hungry Mother State Park, which is the oldest state park in southwest Virginia, having been built north of Marion in the 1930s. Its name is derived from the creek on which it sits, and which it has impounded into a recreational lake. The 7.5-minute United States Geologic Survey map of the area has the creek named, quote, Hungry Mother's Creek, end quote. The origin of the name is to be found in the records of the land grants for the Commonwealth of Virginia, which are maintained online by the Library of Virginia. This bottom land along the creek is referenced in 4 land grants for some of this land, including the land at its junction with the Holston River. These grants are Land Office 93-64, 94-454, 98-694, and 100-226, all of which clearly identify the name of the creek in question has been Hungers, that's H-U-N-G-A apostrophe S, Mother's Creek. There are no other existing references to this surname in Virginia today. It seems to the narrator that the most likely explanation for this record is that Hunger's father migrated westward down the valley from Hunger's Parish and married an Indian woman who lived on the creek at Marion. An Indian woman was the only ethnic female who would have lived alone in this wilderness. The Cherokee and Catawbas, who were the Indians locally, were both matrilineal. The third documentation of the passage westward along the Wilderness Road, or Interstate 81, of the Germans of Tangier Island is a map showing the geographic location of all the cases of Tangier disease that have been diagnosed. Due to intense inbreeding among the Picaroons of Tangier Island, they developed a genetic disease of children which is specific for their descendants. It kills the child and can only be transmitted when both parents carry the recessive gene for this disease. This map demonstrates the migration of the descendants of the Picaroons down the Valley of Virginia, on into Kentucky, and it only peters out in Missouri. The second group of German settlers we will discuss are those from Rockingham or Harrisonburg. Adam Mueller of Germany, by way of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, took up a claim here in 1727. Soon Mennonites and other portions of the Brethren from Pennsylvania came in about 1730. These denominations of refugees were more cohesive than others. The Mennonites and the Amish in particularly were tight self-help societies and provided mutual economic assistance in purchasing land. The settlement pattern was determined by the fact that it was impossible to go west directly from Pennsylvania due to the mountains to the west. The Great Warrior's Path ran down the Great Valley of Virginia, bearing towards the southwest through the Shenandoah and to the Midwest by Cumberland Gap. The valley and its Germans soon defined each other to the rest of the world. Harrisonburg is home of the Eastern Mennonite University today, and the countryside out in the country is still dotted with churches of the Mennonites and Brethren. These Germans migrated down the Wilderness Road in the coming decades into southwest Virginia and beyond. The third group of Virginian Germans we will consider have even more specific ties to the current peoples of the portions of Virginia that lie between Tennessee and Kentucky. We will go back to our discussion of the Siebentonger. Colonel John Buchanan met at Max, and that's spelled M-A-X, Meadows, and of their settlement at Mahanaim. Going on back to the last of the Wars of the Reformation, the city of Friesheim in Germany lost 70% of its civilian population in that war. The people of that city were so traumatized by these events that they decided it must never happen again. They analyzed their recent history and decided that the root causes of their sufferings were established state religions and militarism. Under the leadership of their most prominent citizen, Alexander Jost Mach, that's spelled M-A-C-H, they founded a new religion based on the concepts of separation of church and state and of pacifism. In Europe, this new religion was known as the Fraternus Unitas, but in the United States, they are called the Church of the Brethren. They were hunted down like dogs and burned to the stake or beheaded. They left for Pennsylvania, where they built a commune outside of Philadelphia, which is named Ephrata Cloister. It is a state park today. The old communal barracks still exist. They got along well until Mach died, and they got into a succession fight. Some wanted to elect their leader, but some wanted a hereditary leadership. Some of them said that they had left Europe to get away from dissension, and they left the commune for the, quote, wilderness beyond Christian civilization, end quote. Their leader's son, Alexander Jost Mach, please note that by this time the terminal H had been changed to a terminal K, Jr., led them to the New River Valley. William Mack went with them and settled along a variation of the Wilderness Road known as the Pepper's Ferry Road at a site north of Fort Chiswell on Interstate 81. This place was named after Mack as M-A-X apostrophe S. Note that it went from M-A-C apostrophe S to M-A-X's Meadows, Max Meadows. It was here that Colonel Buchanan found his corpse, attended by the 7 long-bearded men from Tangier Island. No one knows how William was related to either of the other Alexander Machs. The second Alexander Jost Mach founded a religious community in the bottom of the New River south of Radford, which they call Mahanaim. This is an Old Testament term. The bridge on Interstate 81 you cross over is on land whose grant specifies that it was part of Mahanaim. The main part of the settlement lies under Clater Lake. Since these German brethren baptized by total immersion, their neighbors call them by the Middle High German term Dunkards, and their community was referenced to as Dunkards Bottom. All these events occurred around 1745. There was a German community at Radford proper before the coming of the Dunkards. There is no documentation of their coming. There are documentations involving at least 2 families, that of Adam and Valentine and their brother Jacob Hermann, who became known as Harmons, and who legally had gotten land in the Horseshoe Bend of the river where the Radford Arsenal now is. They had been born in Germany about 1700 and had lived for a while in the English Channel Islands and then had come to Pennsylvania in 1726. The second family of known Germans at Radford at that time were that of Jacob Cassell, that's spelled K-A-S-S-E-L-L. Under the name of C-A-S-S-E-L-L, that family is still alive and well in Blacksburg today. The spelling changed to C-A-S-T-L-E, all of them more or less pronounced Castle in English. Both these families used the New River Valley as a base of operations for their expeditions further into the interior to trade with the Indians. Castle's special trading site was in Russell County at the Mud Store at a place now called Castlewood. The main creek turning off of Interstate 81 to the north of Abingdon today toward U.S. 19 is called Castle's Creek. It is unknown where the Harmons traded. One day when the Indians stole their trade goods, the Harmons accused Castle. The court ordered the Harmons to confiscate Castle's goods. At this point, matters become obscure. The next event documented in the existing records is that Adam and Valentine Harmon were in jail for stealing Castle's goods. But the end result was that Castle went to permanently live with the Indians at Castlewood. He took smallpox with him. There is the skull of a young Indian woman from Castlewood who died from smallpox about 1750 in some of the regional museums. Buchanan's 1745 trip westward down the Wilderness Trail is evidence of further German settlement down that way, as he took on his trip with him to Max Meadows to contact these people down the Wilderness Road and to tell them to get off his land, which belonged to either James Patton or the Loyal Company. He took with him the Harmon brothers as translators. This must have represented a substantial German settlement. We will revisit these subjects at length in the presentation on the Scotch-Irish. Among these German settlers was Stephen Holsteiner, known today as Holsten, and who lived at the head spring of the river named after him in about 1748. Samuel Stahlnacher of Dunkard's Bottom went to live on Hutton's Creek between Chilhowie and Glade Spring when he was met by an expedition of Dr. Thomas Walker in 1750 on Reedy Creek between Bristol and Kingsport. Stahlnacher also was a trader with the Indians, trading with the Cherokee in their villages south of Knoxville and in the community of Trade, which is located in the saddle of the Blue Ridge on the North Carolina-Tennessee border. Stahlnacher's home was at the forks of the trails leading to these two locations. The French and Indian War of 1754 to 1763 broke out along the frontier from New York State to Tennessee. In 1755, the Shawnee Indians of southern Ohio struck Draper's Meadows, the current Virginia Tech campus. James Patton was among those killed. His death would easily compete with that of General Armstrong Custer as that of the most prominent American of European ancestry to have been killed by Indians. Draper's Meadow is just down the New River from Mahanaim. The Shawnee struck the Scots-Irish settlement on Carr's Creek on the Calf Pasture River on Interstate 64 just to the northwest of Lexington in 1759, 1763, and again in 1764. Many were killed. The German pacifists of Dunkard's Bottom again fled rather than fight. Across the Blue Ridge Mountains to the south lay the Yadkin Valley, the most desirable part of North Carolina. Today it is the site of Winston-Salem and of Raleigh-Durham. It had been the home of the Catawba Indians, who had just been totally wiped out by smallpox. This created a vacuum in the area of some of the best farmland in North Carolina. And even as the Cherokee began to move in, the German Moravians sent a missionary colony into the Yadkin, soon to be followed by a larger group of Moravians from Pennsylvania. Then came the various groups of the Brethren, specifically those from Dunkard's Bottom, less organized than the Moravians. Then came large numbers of Scotch-Irish fleeing the valley, who, as Presbyterians, were theologically related to the German denominations already settled in the Yadkin. These diverse peoples intermarried in the Yadkin. In the first presentation of the series, we have already discussed whom the, quote, Cherokee, end quote, really were by this time. Stalnaker was abducted by the Shawnee in 1754 and kept in protective custody in Ohio until the end of the war. In 1771, the settlers of the Yadkin Valley engaged in an armed insurrection against the colonial authorities, against whom they fought a pitched battle near Alamance Courthouse. Since the settlers wished to regulate the government, the insurrection is called the Regulators' Revolt. The settlers ran out of ammunition and lost the battle. The red-coated soldiers of the governor ran amok among the Yadkin, burning and hanging. The settlers began the largest mass migration in colonial American history as they ran for their lives into Virginia, through the passes in the Blue Ridge, into the valleys of the Holston, Watauga, and Clinch. Their Berber instincts took them to the heads of the darkest hollows in the mountains, where they settled often without benefit of legal title. The descendants of these people today were largely self-identify as Scotch-Irish, most of whom will tell you that they have a, quote, Cherokee, end quote, great-grandmother or two. It would be just as accurate to say that they were German, with some Scotch-Irish and a Berber great-grandmother or two. Probably the largest group of Germans in far southwest Virginia came to Pennsylvania during the 1750s. Most were indentured servants who had to work out a period of 10 to 20 years labor to pay for their passage from Germany. Many worked out their indentures and moved to Maryland for a few years, where they worked as farmhands for cash. These people piled into the North Fork of the Holston Valley from Saltville to Kingsport about 1775. They mixed with the Regulators, and to a lesser extent with the Scotch-Irish of the Middle and South Fork of the Holston. The most famous of the Dunkards of Dunkard's Bottom was Colonel William Christian. As a pacifist, he had evacuated to North Carolina, but somewhere along the way the Indians had cured him of his pacifism, and upon his return to Manhattan, he became the leader of the New River Militia. During the Great Cherokee War of 1776, the Cherokee had the Holston Militia holed up in their forts, unable to sally forth. Christian and the New River Militia came in and ran the Cherokee out of the Holston Valley. The combined New River Militia and the Holston Militia went to the Netherland End at Kingsport and built a flotilla of rafts and of dugout canoes and sailed down the Tennessee River to the Cherokee towns around Chota and Chattanooga. They spent weeks laying waste to the Cherokee villages in what history has dubbed Christian's Campaign. These three different groups of Germans had originated in the greater German Rhine River Valley and practiced different varieties of anti-establishment pietism. Earlier in the English-American colonies, they had different histories, but finally found themselves living and intermarrying together in far southwestern Virginia. The last of these three essays, we will find them intermarrying also with the Scotch-Irish. This presentation today has been based largely on two essays, which you can access and download online. The first about the Picaroons and Pietist Pirates of Tangier Island. You can Google Daniel Boone Wilderness Trail Association, and on their webpage, on a pull-down menu from the top under History, you will find my name, and there you will find an essay on Tangier Island. Concerning the Sebentongers, go to my website at bigstonegappublishing.org and pull down on the term Other Writings, and among the some 60 essays that you will see, there is one entitled Tangier Island.